Okay, let us pray. Father, we thank you, God, that you are a sovereign Lord who reigns over the universe, and all things happen for the your perfect purpose that you have ordained. And Lord, even as the country has gone in a direction that of your sovereign will, Lord, we want to just submit and to yield to what you desire to do. And Lord, thank you for this afternoon to bring us together also in your sovereignty, for us to gather to unite our hearts and intending to give you worship and to even dedicate our lives as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to you. So thank you that you brought each one of us with a very unique purpose to, Lord, move us to true worship. So Lord, would you bless us, bless the word, bless the hearing of the word. Would your Holy Spirit be with us? In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Okay, please be seated. Talking about mourning here, comfort all who mourns, and I'm going through mourning, and I'm sure many, many people who voted for President Trump, who are mostly Christians, I believe, probably mostly Christian, they're also going through mourning. And but it's a humbling thing, as we have hoped for one person to be president, but it seems like it's leaning towards another direction, and we are submitted to that. We're not, our hope is not on a person, but our hope is in God. So God will accomplish his plan according to his good purpose and in his way. So let us just trust all things to the Lord, and but also it's okay to share your mourning and let the Lord kind of heal us. This week also I gave a text to our professionals and servants. I visited my dad's gravesite, and I've been meaning to go for many, many weeks. I've in fact bought a flower to take it to the gravesite, but twice I, you know, had other things going on, and twice the two flowers withered. So this time I said, I'm going to go this day, and I'm going to buy the flower on the day. So I bought the flower, and I went to the gravesite. And so I had a good time just reflecting on how there is a resurrection day. For us Christians, when somebody dies who are Christians, we know that we will meet them on the resurrection day. When Jesus comes on the last day, those who are dead in Christ will resurrect first, and those who are alive, who are believers, will be lifted up to join Jesus to be with God forever. So this is a living hope that I was talking about on Thursday, or is it Wednesday? And so it was good to be refreshed, to be reminded that again. And definitely when I think about being resurrected, being with God, Jesus is coming soon, my soul gets really refreshed. I'm not sure about you, but I get refreshed. So that's part of the gospel. Gospel is, yes, Jesus came and died. He was buried. He resurrected. He ascended to be at the right hand of the Father, but he's coming back. So second coming of Christ is part of the gospel, when we will be glorified to be with God forever. So it is important for us to be reminded to the coming, second coming of Christ. Hello, Gracelyn. It's been a while. It's good to see you. Just needed to say hi. But while I was putting the flower there and meditating on this, I looked up And there was a tree that was huge. Oh my goodness, this is one of the biggest tree that I've seen. And it just looks like a really healthy tree. Solid wood, you know, just luscious leaves, and it was huge. And when I saw that, I said, I have to take a picture of this. And because when I saw it, what I remembered was a description of Christ followers, or those who have accepted the good news, are called, and believers are called oaks of righteousness. I don't think it was an oak tree, but it reminded me of an oak. And this description of believers who are called oaks of righteousness. And so, but this is a vision and a hope that I've already clung on to in the past, and I really look forward to this happening in my life and also in the lives of other people in our ministry, in our church, in our campus ministry. But I forgot about oaks of righteousness. Then looking at the tree, God reminded me of we are called to be oaks of righteousness. You know, oaks in those days were used to build really, you know, fancy houses. It was used in temple building and, you know, Solomon's building. Oaks are very precious, solid wood. So as I was meditating, I text everyone, and I was just really encouraged that I was reminded this again. And I thought, you know what? I was going to speak on Christ's character of compassion. Actually, I was going to do perseverance, but or patience, but my next thing was Christ's compassion. But then I was reminded of this, and my soul got more excited about oaks of righteousness. So my conclusion is, you want to speak on something that you're excited about. So I'm excited about talking about this. And so, are you ready? Are you ready to learn more about being oaks of righteousness? Okay, well, it comes from Isaiah 61, 3. We met the whole chapter. But in verse 3b, second part, comes the mantle of praise instead of the spirit of fainting. So they will be called oaks of righteousness. They will be called oaks of righteousness. And so, in order to understand this, we need to look at the previous verse. And verse 1 starts with, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed to bring good news to the afflicted, and has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to promote liberty to the captives, and freedom for prisoners, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord, the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourns, to grant those who mourn in Zion, giving them a garland, which is a crown of beauty, instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of spirit of fainting. So they will be called oaks of righteousness, planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified." So you know, this passage is a pretty famous passage, because in the book of Luke, when Jesus went to his hometown to preach at the synagogue, it's a custom that they, you know, a person, a rabbi, when coming to the Sabbath, or a the temple, or not the temple, but the synagogue, they are handed to them a scroll, and they would stand up and read it. So a scroll was handed to Jesus, and the book was Isaiah. It says in the bottom, Luke, it says, as was his custom, he stood up and read, and the scroll of prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unscrolling it, and he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me." He began by saying to them, "Today the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." So this exact passage, Isaiah 61, was the passage or the book that was handed to Jesus. And Jesus went to Isaiah 61 and he read it. He read it. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim the liberty to the captive and freedom to the prisoners, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord." And here Jesus stopped. You know what the common interpretation is? Is because this is how far Jesus came to accomplish when he came in his first coming. And the day of vengeance will happen when Jesus' second coming comes, you know? And so, but that this is a common interpretation, but there's another way to view it. Because if you interpret it this way, that means the previous part applies to us today, and the rest of the chapter doesn't apply to us today. I mean, at this point, until Jesus comes back and for the day of vengeance, for the book of Revelations to be accomplished. But you know what rabbis do? Rabbis often, when especially referring to the book of Psalms, they just read the first passage or portion of the beginning of the passage to refer to the rest of the chapter. So for me, it's kind of hard to believe that we cannot claim the rest of the passage for us today, because this is the impact of what happened in verse 1 and 2. So I'm going to preach it in a way that even though some believe that the second part of the passage is only for the millennial kingdom time, millennial kingdom, but we can hope that these things that happen in the millennial kingdom can happen to us today. And in fact, there's actually evidence of people experiencing these blessings even today. So that's the background of this passage. But why are they called oaks of righteousness? So we're going to talk about why oaks of righteousness, you know, who are the people who are called oaks of righteousness later on. But first, let's talk about why are they called oaks of righteousness. Well, because it says in the first few passages, it says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." And who is this referring to? Jesus. Jesus is quoting this, and he said, "Today the scripture has been fulfilled." So Jesus is referring to himself. So the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. So why are those who accept the good news can be called oaks of righteousness? Because Jesus came to proclaim the good news. And because this good news actually is in the following passage, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our Lord. So why are they called oaks of righteousness? Because Jesus was sent to proclaim the good news. And when the good news was proclaimed, people believed in him, believed in the good news. What is another word for good news, by the way? Gospel. Gospel is the central message of the whole Bible. And the good news is simply, in Greek, gospel means evangelion. And evangelion is just good news, basically. Good news was to be preached. But Jesus was anointed. And you know the meaning of the word Christ? Christ means the anointed one. The Father has anointed Christ, proclaimed the gospel, which is the good news, to the poor. Spiritually poor. And when he proclaimed it, people believed. People believed. And what happened when he proclaimed, he also, in verse 2, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance. So the year of the Lord's favor, it does not necessarily mean 1 year, but at the coming of Jesus to the second coming of Christ, could be considered the the year of the favor of the Lord. And the favor could be, in other way, described as grace. With the coming of the Lord is a period when God's favor, God's grace was poured upon all those who believe in the gospel. And the day of vengeance, it could also start from the coming of Jesus, because him dying on the cross, he defeated the enemy, but he also would bring judgment to those who oppose the Jews at that time, or even all those who oppose Christ. So because God the Father has anointed Jesus to proclaim the good news, and when people believe, it became a favorable year for anyone who believed. So if you have heard the gospel, then the favorable year has come into your life. What year has come into your life? Favorable year. And in the gospel being believed and the favor and the grace coming into our lives, as part of the blessing of the gospel is that we be called oaks of righteousness. And it is described as a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. So essentially, Jesus came to proclaim the gospel, the good news. And for those who believe, it became the favorable year of the Lord. And the gospel being planted into our lives, we are to be growing to be oaks of righteousness. Does that make sense? So this is something really to be excited about, because if we have heard the gospel, good news message, and we have believed it, these are things that are to happen. So the next thing I want to talk about is, what is the power of the gospel? What is the power of the good news? When you believe in the good news that Jesus came to make atonement for our sins, and he have died, he was buried, and he was resurrected to bless us with a resurrection power, and with the living hope that when Jesus returns, that we would be resurrected to be with God forever. So the gospel news can be shortly summarized in that way, but we could say much more about that. But what is the power of the gospel? When Jesus came to proclaim this good news, what should happen? What should happen? So the first part here, the Lord has anointed me to bring the good news to the afflicted, right? And he has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. Bind up the brokenhearted. When the gospel is believed and is planted into our life, then whatever the brokenness that we've experienced in our lives can be healed and bound up, wrapped up. You know what binding is? Like when you have a wound, what do you do when there's an open wound? You have to treat it with some medicine, you know, make sure the blood stops, and then you have to what? Bind it up so that it won't fester, right? So for those who are wounded and have broken heartedness, what Jesus wanted to do through the good news is heal us, wrap us with his, you know, Band-Aid. Is kind of small, but, you know, just binding the wounds. Well, you know, there's one description that's pretty, you know, clear in Hosea. Let's turn to Hosea. Somebody turn to Hosea in the Old Testament and read that for us. Hosea 6, 1 through 2. Okay. Let's turn to Hosea chapter 6. Okay. Let's see. All right, Jack, you're in the front again. So let's have you read Hosea 6, 1 and 2.
Okay. Come, let us return to the Lord, for he has torn us, but he will heal us. He has wounded us, but he will bandage us. He will revive us after 2 days. He will raise us up on the third day that we may live before him.
So let us know and press on to know the Lord. And so this is a book of Hosea where Israelites have sinned against God, like a prostitute. You know, God brought the Israelites to purchase Israelite. But then like a prostitute, they went away again. And so what God had to do is kind of bring discipline upon Israel. And so that's why he says, come, let us return to the Lord, for he has torn us. Sometimes if we do not return to God in a timely manner, God is patient. But at some point, he may need to discipline us. So it says he has torn us, but he will heal us. He may bring discipline. But because he still loves us, he will heal us. He has wounded us, but he will bandage us. He is the one who wounds us. He could bring discipline if we don't return to God right away. He has wounded us, but he will bandage us. So binding up is like bandaging. It says he will revive us after 2 days, and he will raise us up on the third day, that we may live for him, that we may know and press on to know the Lord. So if the gospel has been deeply understood and believed and implanted in our soul, then some inner brokenness should be healed by the power of the gospel. How many of you experienced some healing in your life? So this is the normal impact of the gospel. If we understand the gospel personally and meaningfully, there's going to be some healing. There's going to be some restoration. Maybe brokenness caused by even my sin or people sin against me, and my heart is broken or my soul is impacted. But when the gospel comes in, there has to be some healing going on. So if it is not, perhaps maybe the gospel has not fully been planted in us and not fully enjoying the power of the gospel as well. Does that make sense? So if we have wounds and that's not being healed, where you need to go is not other places. If I go to psychologists or counselors, maybe I will be healed. No, you have to go back to the gospel and how we are brought back to a relationship with God. So everything he says here in Hosea, he will revive us on the second day. He will raise us up on the third day that we may live before him. So let us know, let us press on to know the Lord. So if there's some healings that are not taking place, we need to go back to the gospel message of Jesus Christ. We need to turn back to Christ, turn back to God, and live before him. Secondly, the power of the gospel is to proclaim for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners. The prisoners actually are referred to as, proclaim the captives and release darkness. Oh, blinded. Another translation of the word prisoner is for those people who are blinded. So the gospel message is just like Jesus. Jesus is the light of the world, right? He came to bring help blind person to see the spiritual light. When you understand the good news of Jesus Christ and what he did for us, and we come to believe in it, then in believing in Christ and what he did on the cross, he's declaring freedom. You no longer need to be in darkness. You're spiritually made to be new creation. Before you were blind, but now you can see. If you can understand the message of Jesus Christ, and if you truly believe in faith, then there should be binding going on, healing of our brokenness, but also freedom from our blindedness. Not seeing the world in the proper way. Everybody here comes from a different worldview. We have our own perception of what the world is like, what's important, what's not, what's valued or not. Hopefully for all of us Christians, we have the kingdom worldview, kingdom of God. But not all Christians still have been dislodged from their worldview and their darkness. Would you agree with that? When somebody comes to Christ, yes, they accepted Christ and their sins are forgiven, then they've been saved by the grace and their sin has been justified, so they're going to heaven. But still, they've been affected by the worldview previously, and so they need to be sanctified. Our view need to be sanctified. We're from a darkness. We need to be, you know, enlightened by the truth of God's word and by Christ, by the Holy Spirit. So if you don't understand why things are happening in your life and you're having trouble, then it's probably you don't see quite the perspective of God and the kingdom perspective and the kingdom light. But the gospel, with the believing of the good news, you will be bound up in your brokenness. You need to be seeing spiritual perspective that you did not have. I remember when I was blessed in a conference, I told you that junior year, I started to see the clear difference between earthly perspective and a spiritual perspective. How many of you felt that before? I know clearly I used to think this way. This is the way I used to think, and this is the way the people in the world thinks, but wow, in God's sight, it is totally different. You start seeing a spiritual perspective that is totally different. Now, it would be best if we continue to grow in that spiritual perspective and we come to the light. But even for Christians, when we start returning to the old ways, we start losing perspective. I sometimes call it a spiritual amnesia. Spiritual amnesia. For Christians, we knew this before. This is not of God. And spiritual perspective of God is this. But as you're living life and you start compromising with the world, suddenly you have an amnesia about that discernment. You knew that you had the discernment in the past, but suddenly your discernment today is kind of like off. I call that spiritual amnesia because I've experienced that too. Hey, it's like this right here. Even the oaks of righteousness, I knew that, but I forgot about it. But then God reminded me, oaks of righteousness. Why did I forget? So if you're a Christian, you need to all grow to be oaks of righteousness. I need to continue to grow. You need to grow. And I need to continue to remind our church to grow as oaks of righteousness. So when the gospel is deeply being working in our lives and it's impacting us, things just become more clear. We come into the light more. We're no longer part of the earthly kingdom, but we see more of the godly kingdom, kingdom of God, and the way God views everything. Thirdly, the power of the gospel is Jesus came to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance. And I talked about that, so I won't need to talk too much about it. It's not 1 year, like I said, but it's from the time of coming of Jesus and preaching the gospel. And this church period is a period of grace. It's no longer we need to live by the law, you know, trying to be perfect to be on the favor side of God. but it's by faith in Jesus Christ we experience the grace of God. And so Jesus, by his good news, is saying you don't have to live by the law. The law is completed by loving God. Love completes the law. Loving Jesus, believing in the gospel of what Jesus came to do. He came to redeem us from sin. And by faith in Christ, we enter into his grace. We enter into his grace. So we should be enjoying more of grace in our lives. More grace. How's your grace enjoyment? Is following Jesus about doing things reluctantly? You know, is following Jesus like not something to look forward to? Is the word of God, you know, sweet to our soul? So when we have been transformed by the good news, then grace, we should be full of grace, enjoying the word of God, really enjoying obeying God or wanting to obey God, and even look forward to what God wants to do in my life in the future. Because God has a plan for each of our lives. The favorable year has come. God wants to redeem us from our pit, resurrect us, bring us to healing, to set us free from darkness into light. He wants to bring favor into our lives. Favor. Grace. You know, I feel like I've experienced this a lot more when I was younger than now. I'm not sure if I'm just taking things for granted. But, you know, when I was younger and I was just out there trying to serve the Lord, I just experienced a lot of favor. Whatever I attempted for God, I would say about over 90% was blessed. Whatever I attempted for God, whether go to East Coast, do a conference, STP, start a campus ministry, go overseas, I feel like God blessed over 90%. I mean, probably the other 10% I'm saying is I probably did it in my flesh and maybe it didn't turn out well. But then mostly I just sense God's favor. Even people like me, strange people, I just get to know them. They just kind of like me. Not strange people. There's people who don't know me. One guy, one staff from New York, he heard about me through the networks of the Navigators. And he was a staff in New York, NYU, you know, and he came to one of our conferences. Hey, I heard about you. It's good to see you finally. And then at the end, he goes, you know, there's something about you, something Christmas about you. And I just met this staff. And so, but I just experienced so much favor from the Lord. And I in my old age, I'm kind of slowing down a little bit, but I still like to think God favors me. But then it's not only me. Anybody who believe in the gospel is planted in them. You're supposed to be bound up in your wounds, healed, and you know, you'll be set free from the darkness to light, and you're supposed to enjoy the blessed year of the Lord's favor. If you become a believer, you're promised the year of his favor. Your whole life will be his favor. Are you enjoying his favor in your life? Actually, you know, if you are a child of God, he's favoring you in so many ways. But if our heart and mind is somewhere else, we might not even be able to see it. We fall into spiritual amnesia, spiritual blindness from how God is blessing us. So what else is the power of the gospel? I have three more in the last point, and this will be the end of our message. Amazing. Part two will be coming. So what else should happen when we believe in the good news? gospel is planted in our lives. What else should happen? To comfort all who mourns, verse 3, and provide those who grieve in Zion to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, oil of joy instead of mourning. Anybody who's mourning, I told you I'm kind of mourning because of the election, you know, but I accept God's will, whichever he decide to do it. You know, God is the one who places the even government leaders. Does that mean because they have different value that God's will cannot be done? No, God is over them. No matter who's up there, God is over them. And so God can accomplish his will. The things that we want to see happen. Saving babies, you know. So anyone who's mourning, and this could be mourning because of suffering, mourning because of your own sin, mourning because somebody sinned against you, you know, it could be all kinds of mourning. And among the Jewish people, they were mourning because of, you know, just they were deported to Assyria. Israel was deported to Assyria. And Judah was deported to Babylon. They were like refugees in other land. And they were persecuted. They were not favored by the nations. They were not favored by the nations. So in this context of mourning, you know, the prophecy is once the good news is preached and received, whatever the mourning that we're experiencing, you know, God wants to crown us with beauty instead of ashes. You know what ashes? When you're mourning, you throw ashes on your head and saying, woe is me. I'm going through suffering. Life is just a mess, you know? And they're supposed to pray to God. So they throw ashes on their head, but then, because of the Messiah in the Old Testament, but Jesus in the New Testament, when Jesus brings the good news, these mournings should turn into oil of joy. You know, oil of joy is when you go on a feast, what they do is they pour oil on your head as a symbol of, you know, festiveness, joy, oil of joy. Instead of mourning, if you go to funeral, then you mourn, right? But when you believe in the gospel and accept the good news, your life should be festive with oil of joy. Your life should be characterized by hearts just kind of bubbling up with rejoicing. How many of your hearts are bubbling up with rejoicing? Look around. Is a person next to you bubbling up with rejoicing? You know, but you kind of know a general countenance of a person, whether they're mostly rejoicing or mostly, you know, frowning, mostly discouraged or even depressed. But if we have the gospel planted in us, it has the power to make our mourning into oil of joy, crown of beauty. Crown of, what is that? Let's look at Zechariah 9:16-17. Let's have Gracelyn, you can read that for us. Zechariah in the Old Testament. It's a later book, almost at the end. Right? Is it before Malachi? Before Malachi, last book in the Bible, in the Old Testament. So Zechariah 9:16. Zechariah 9:16. And 17. Go ahead.
And Jehovah their God will save them in that day as the flock of his people, for they shall be as the stones of a crown, lifted on high over his land. For how great is his goodness, and how great is his beauty. Grain shall make the young man flourish, and new wine the virgin.
If you are living in Israel, would you like grains and new wine? That symbolizes prosperity and abundance, you know? So it says here, the Lord their God will save them in that day. So this is the day of the, favorable year of the Lord. In that day, he will save them as the flock of his people. They also, it says, for they are as the stones of the crown of a crown. You know, crown belongs to the king, right? King is wearing the crown. And where's the stone? Embedded in the crown. So people of God is like the stones on the crown of God's head. God is glorified through the stones. We are to be glorifying God. And they are precious. They are as stones of a crown, sparkling in his hand even. So those people who are saved should be like very precious stone, like a precious stone, and they're sparkling in the hands of God. Is our life sparkling? Do we have this crown of beauty in our lives? I tell you, more description of crown of beauty is here. For what comeliness and beauty will be theirs? You know, comely is, I think, handsomeness, and beauty will be theirs. So you know, if you are born again and you are experiencing the power of the gospel, power of good news in you, that you will become handsome and beautiful. Because the joy of the Lord is overflowing, your countenance will be bright. We had a Bible study Friday, and this guy named Romero, he was like, in his face, I could see his countenance, he was very peaceful. Before that, he's kind of nervousy and talkative a lot. But then that day, he was just like very calm. Calmliness. It's not the same word. So he was enjoying peace in his soul. I could see it in his face. When the gospel brings you peace and joy bubbling up, your countenance changes. And you know how women, when they are in love and they're dating, or you know, their face glows. You know, that's what the soap opera say. Your face is glowing. Who are you dating? You know? So when you have Jesus in your life and you've been born again, there should be healing, awakening to his light. His grace should be abundant. You know, the morning morning should change the comfort. And oil of gladness, oil of gladness, oil of joy. There should be joy bubbling up. And when that happens, you will be like a crown of beauty. Your countenance should change brightly. Christians, you know, Christians should not should be looking sad all the time. Should not be looking dark all the time. Depressed. Otherwise, that Christian may not be deeply rooted. The gospel may not deeply be rooted as of yet. You know what I'm saying? Because when the gospel is deeply embedded in our soul and we are enjoying the good news of what Jesus did and enjoying Jesus, enjoying his word, enjoying the hope in Christ, there should be no mourning. There should be comfort. There should be oil of joy. And our countenance should be like a crown of beauty. So if you want to become more beautiful, ladies, don't spend money on makeups. Spend time hoping for the oil of joy. That is the best makeup for you. If you have an oil of joy from the gospel, then you'll be so bright. You'll have the crown of beauty in your face and your countenance in your life. And you know, because you're joyful, you'll make other people joyful. That's another thing. One thing is for us to be joyful, but then do you help other people to be joyful? That's what happens when the gospel permeates in all of our lives. You know, next thing, it actually belongs to the comfort all who mourns, but the next thing I separated, and a garment of praise instead of spirit of despair. Garment of praise instead of spirit of despair. So before knowing Jesus, we could be in despair. How many of you know what despair is? You know, you don't know how things are going to turn out, and you could be thinking about the worst case scenario, and you could be in despair. What if the worst thing happens? And then you go down the that cycle, spiraling down to even deeper despair and even depression. That should not be, because the gospel, the good news coming into our lives, transforms us, heals us, brings us to a clearer understanding of life and God's perspective, that we don't need to go down the path of despair and depression and even destruction. There should be no temptation of suicide if a person's impacted by the gospel. But sadly, there have been people like that. Because the power of what Jesus did on the cross, his death, burial, and resurrection, the resurrection power will turn our despair into a garment of praise. You know, garment is something you put on, you know? And it's praise. Praise is like looking at life in such a God-centered way that we're just so busy praising God and giving thanks to God, there's no room for despair, no room to go down the negative path. If we go in the negative path, that means you're not putting on a garment of praise, you know, moved by the Holy Spirit, moved by the Holy Spirit. So a person who's been impacted by the good news will be full of praise and thanksgiving. How's your Thanksgiving life? Is your day-to-day filled more with, God, thank you for this, thank you for that, or, oh, I don't have this, and this is not going well, that's not going well. But a person impacted by the good news is bright with the oil of joy, and are more looking at life, how God has been favoring us, and how God is to be praised. Actually, I need to do more of this right now because there's some issues that's going on that's kind of been kind of saddening me. Beside the election. What is that passage that says, why are you in, is it despair? Oh, my soul. Why are you downcast? Oh, downcast. I feel like a bit of downcast because of certain things. But I need to remember that the Lord is in control. I could just trust in him for whatever that is to happen. But I just need to focus on things to praise God and give thanks to God. But it's been a challenge. But, you know, there's nothing that cannot be overcome with the Lord's help and in Lord's plan. And so sometimes we need to choose to give thanks to God. We need to choose to give praise to God. Even though I feel despair, maybe downcastness, those who believe in Christ and the promises of God should not respond to just feeling, because we are not, you know, saved for the purpose of following our feeling. We're saved for the purpose of worshiping God and keeping our eyes focused on Him. And there's so many awesome things to rejoice about, that it would be only the enemy's temptation to look at the negative, look at the downcastness. So you will be full of praise. So just imagine, if you were full of praise, how would you look like? Really handsome, really beautiful. Person who's full of praise is very bright, right? Jesse, you're looking bright, full of praise. So finally, what is the power of the gospel is that they will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord. Because God planted the gospel in us, and He planted us to be His own. We are chosen by God. He planted us to be His own. But first, the gospel has been planted to us, and therefore, the gospel has the power to change us to be righteous. Change us to be oaks of righteousness. That's not just being doing external good things, but it becomes an oak, solid character. The gospel permeates through all of our lives, and as time goes, we should grow to be a solid man of character of righteousness. Does that make sense? So to say somebody is an oak of righteousness is a huge praise. And you don't give this name to somebody who's just kind of like a chaff. Is that how you say it? Chaff? Chaff. You know, those like, you know, straws that fly, you know, according to Psalms 1, right? Don't be like a chaff. You don't give oak of righteousness to a person whose personality and lifestyle and values are like a chaff. You know, somebody who is deeply convicted and even have proven character of righteousness and good character deserves such a name. What kind of name would you give yourself? Between a fluffy chef and an oak of righteousness, where about are you? You know, we might have started out as a chef before we are believers. You know, chef are kind of swayed by the world. Swayed by the world. World blows this way, whew, goes this way, whew. There's no backbone of goodness. It's just whatever the world blows, that's the way it goes. But having been saved by the good news, and being healed, restored, our mornings turn into oil of gladness, full of praise and thanksgiving. We're headed towards growing as men and women of righteousness, solid character, substantial person. Do you know how to discern somebody when this person is a substantial person or not a very quality person? I don't know. Maybe at a first look, you may not be able to know. But when you hang out with them a lot, you understand what they value, what their consistent decisions are, how historically their life has been, and what they're living for in the future, you could tell what they're living for, whether it's a quality or not, whether it's a righteousness or not. People might not be able to tell whether you're a quality, proven character, oak of righteousness, right away. But when people get to know you and hang around you, you know, you can put out the best feet for about 3 weeks. Then if you hang out long enough, you'll find everything. That's what I say 3 weeks STP. You could just show your best feet and then say goodbye. They think you're great. But anything longer than a 3 week STP, 5 weeks, 10 weeks STP or mission trip, everybody will know what your character is like. So in a ministry, you know, you won't know somebody just for a short period of time, but when you hang out long enough, I mean, ministry, you only meet like 2-3 times a week. So you could hide your weaknesses, but then if you people know you long enough, people know what you're about. Hopefully, you will be those who are impacted by the power of the gospel and really become men and women who would be deserved to call oaks of righteousness. Oaks of righteousness. How many of you want to be oaks of righteousness? It's another thing. Do I really want that? Or am I wanting something else? I don't want to be oaks of righteousness. I want to be oak of the world. I want to be oak of fame. I want to be oak of, like, you know, popularity, you know? I don't know. You could desire other things in life. But if you are truly born again, saved by the gospel, the good news, you may have given yourself to the world a bit, but you need to say, that's not what I want. I want to, for the gospel to fully pervade my life. And I want to grow to be a man who would be called oak of righteousness, or a woman who would be called oak of righteousness. Because this is the prophecy of when Jesus, the Messiah, comes and preaches the gospel. He declares the favorable year of the Lord. There is impact. These are powerful impact that should be taking place in our lives. Being an oak of righteousness for Christians is not an option. That's the path that we are called to grow in. But if we're not growing in that path, something is hindering it. Something is hindering it. So we need to figure that out. What am I giving myself into in my life that's hindering me from continually growing as an oak of righteousness? That's just our calling as a Christian. So this is my hope. I want to continue to grow. I've been doing this for a long time, and hopefully I've grown some kind of proven character. What do you think, guys? Is Pastor Min pass a little test of being an oak? Well, but I'm not perfect. I want to still grow. God is testing me even in my old age, and I need to pass the test. I want to grow continually, but I want our church, our ministry, people to not hinder the work of God that He wants to do in us, to bring healing and restoration and garland of joy and crown of beauty. He wants to kind of like make you into a, you know, a comely guy and a beautiful woman. Attractive. It says attractive, it says here. They are attractive. I hope you become attractive people. But not according to the world, but according to the way the gospel works. Why is this going to happen for anyone who believe in Christ and are born again? The Spirit of the Lord was on Jesus. Spirit of the Lord is on me. When Jesus preached the gospel, He also gave us the Spirit. You know, Book of Acts. Holy Spirit is in those people who are truly born again. And the Holy Spirit, if we don't quench the Holy Spirit will accomplish all this. Jesus came to accomplish this, but He blessed us with this Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is also upon me. But, and also when your Spirit of the Lord is upon you, not only God will accomplish these awesome, powerful work in our lives, we will do what He's doing. Jesus proclaimed the favorable year of the Lord. Jesus proclaimed the good news. Full of the Spirit, that is also what we will do. If we are fully impacted by the good news and the gospel. What do you think? Was this worth reminding us? You know, we are called to be oaks of righteousness. Well, next week, there's another one. So let's look forward to that. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, God, for this message of being called to be oaks of righteousness. And how by your Holy Spirit, you will accomplish this. So for us believers in Christ, it's not an option that we accept the gospel and you, Jesus, and, you know, seek for other things that hinders us from growing as oaks of righteousness. We are meant to grow this way. This is your calling. And Lord, I want to grow this way continually in my old age, but also I hope for our younger brothers and sisters in the church, in the campus ministry, to experience the fullness of the promise of this gospel and to grow as men and women who would be solid, proven character, men and women of righteousness. Lord, may it be that as the years go by, the men and women of White Harvest Evangelical Church in Christ Alone Ministry are men and women set apart as quality people who have solid characters, a solid life of righteousness, who would just bubble up in joy of gladness. And would appear to the world that we are with true beauty, crown of beauty, to give you glory because you are the one who has resurrected us and transformed us, and you have brought the beauty for your glory. May each and every one of us go deeper in the understanding of the gospel, the good news, but also, would you bless us with true faith in the gospel? Would you fill us with your Spirit? So by the power of your Spirit and the resurrection power, that we will truly be transformed. So we commit each of ourselves to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.